Amen. Well, I ought to be able to preach after that, Brother Barnum. Thank you, brother. Hey, if our children would go ahead and exit for children's church. I tell you, I don't know if you noticed, but our bulletins are just gorgeous today. It's a good day for this, isn't it? Some of us were hoping we would get to see this picture outside our church, weren't we? Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Psalm 51, 7. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I'll tell you, the music, even though Ken couldn't lead it, he picked out some good songs that really captured the theme this morning. By faith, they overcame. You know, I've heard a word like overcomer, you know, overcoming. You know, we think of, we look at this Hebrews 11 chapters considered a lot of times the hall of faith, the faith hall of fame. We see men and women that just show true faith. True faith. We looked last week and we looked at verses 13 through 16 and we looked at they were strangers and exiles on earth. They were pilgrims. They were aliens. They were seeking a greater country. And it said that, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. And they died in faith, looking toward that city, being true and faithful. Let me read to us, if you would stand with me. We're going to read down Hebrews 11. We're going to start in verse 32 and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 40. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You may be seated. May God richly bless the reading and preaching of His Word. Have you ever felt the conviction to step out or to go against the crowd? Take on the impossible, not knowing exactly what will happen? And face great trials and even face great persecution. Of course you have. You and I, people who are of faith, we are seeking to please our Heavenly Father. We are seeking to do the things He calls us to do. If you remember in Hebrews 11, 1, what does it say? Now faith is what? Assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, for it is impossible to please God without faith. For it is impossible. For without faith it is impossible to please God. So we, as God's people, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I want to say this, that there's difference, there's a contrast between people of faith and people of this world. We know that people of the world, they doubt. And they conform to the world. They blend in with the crowd. They want life of ease and comfort. They may seek success through jobs and hobbies and pleasures and money while pursuing happiness according to the world standards. Faith separates worldly people from God's people. Continue along worldly people. They don't look toward the future. They have no regard for God's call, God's commands, God's kingdom, God's values, God's promises, or God's glory. When worldly people make a wish for birthday parties, what do they wish for? Something they can touch. They might wish for to be more happy. They might wish for some worldly thing, fame, success. You know, people of faith, when we have a chance to, it's not really making a wish, it's a prayer, right? And what do we usually pray for? We pray for more of an experience with God. We pray for holiness. We pray for contentment that comes through knowing Christ. We pray for God's glory. We pray for that lost loved one. We have different hopes. We have different dreams. We have different desires. We are no longer trying to conform to the world and a life of ease and comfort and happiness and contentment by the world standards, but we are now seeking that greater country. We're now walking by faith, assurance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. We are seeking to please God. We're seeking to advance His kingdom. We're seeking to make disciples, to grow in holiness, to make a difference here on this earth. So people of faith, we see in this chapter, we see great examples over and over and over again of people who attempted great acts. They displayed radical obedience to God. We're going to make the case that people of faith, and it seems radical, but it's simple obedience to God. It may seem radical because in this world, it's without compromise. It's without hesitation. It's without doubt or worry or concern. It's just being faithful, being obedient to what God tells us. So in this chapter, it's kind of broke up. We're going to look at things like three words, if we can capture it in this. We're going to look at risk takers. People of faith take risk. People of faith also overcome. They've got this deep desire already met through faith in their heart, and they know that they are more than conquerors through Christ. People of faith are on a journey toward a heavenly city, and they are overcomers. They're standing on that foundation of the solid rock. So we see risk takers, we're going to look at overcomers, and then we're going to look at crusaders. Because when you think about a crusade, what is that? A long and determined attempt to achieve something you strongly believe in. People of faith are on a long journey to achieve something that we strongly believe in. So we're risk takers. We act on our faith. We obey radical commands of Christ. We're overcomers, knowing that Christ has gone before us and that the victory is certain. We are triumphant. And then we are crusaders in that our convictions are strong in the battle, in the journey. And we're going on to make accomplishments in what we believe in. And guess what? We'll never back down. We never give up. We look at these individuals here and we see this text kind of broken down into two sections. Into two sections. First off, James talks about faith leads to action. And you see these people of faith, and they are acting on their faith. So we're going to make the case that faith causes people to attempt and accomplish great acts of courage. Faith causes people to attempt and accomplish great acts of courage. Secondly, we're going to make the case that faith helps us to accept and endure great measures of torture and affliction and persecution. We're going to see this with people of faith. They are able to accept mistreatment. They're able to accept and endure great trials, even torturous acts, because faith endures. Faith endures. Faith takes risk. Faith overcomes. Faith endures. Let's look back at our text here in verses 32, and we'll see that faith causes people to attempt and accomplish great acts. Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? This writer, this is the way this writer now is bringing a conclusion to this great Faith Hall of Fame. He says, I've given you this complete list. I mean, we have looked at people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. We've looked at Sarah. We've looked at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and continued through this list. And finally, he gets to down here towards the end. And this is basically a way this writer's saying, let's conclude now. Let's move this toward a conclusion. Y'all like that when I start moving toward the conclusion. But some of you have realized that my conclusion can still last a long time, right? Well, this writer is moving us toward a conclusion. He says, and what more shall I say? Usually what that means for me is I'm just getting warmed up, right? And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets. Now look at this. Remember, faith attempts and accomplishes great acts. Verse 33 says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. There's things that these people who were walking, assured of things hoped for, convicted of things not seen, this is what they're setting out. They're conquering kingdoms. They're enforcing justice. They're obtaining promises, stopping the mouths of lions, quenching the power of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, made strong out of weakness, putting foreign armies to flight. Women are even receiving back their dead through resurrection because they're grounded. They're steadfast, immovable, assured, convicted, strong, and they are attempting and accomplishing great works because of the faith that they have. I think back, look back at Abraham in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises when was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac you shall your offspring be named. Your offspring shall be named. And it says, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. Do we have faith? Do we consider that God is able? These people that are conquering kingdoms and enforcing justice and obtaining promises, they believe that their God was able. Their Abraham is, had been given a promise that God was going to bless him and make him into a great nation, and his descendants were going to exceed that of the grasshoppers on the hills and the sand on the seashore. And now the only son of promise, God tells him to take him up a mounting and slay him. Radical obedience. That's faith. Believing God. Trusting God. Faith acts on God's commands. He believed God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead. And of course we know that as Abraham raised the knife, God shows him the sacrifice in the thicket, the ram caught in the thicket, and God spared Isaac. But that was a great test for Abraham. Have we seen these tests in our life? Has God put us in these situations to where He says, do not compromise, do not waver. I've bought you with my precious blood of my Son. I've seated you in the heavenlies. I've strengthened you. I've shown you myself. I've imparted faith to your heart. Now do not waver. Do not compromise. Are we able to stand firm? Are we able to go against the crowd? You know, I think about Caleb and Joshua as they're journeying through looking toward the promise. They come up at Kadesh Barnea, they come up on this little river and they're sent out, one spy representing each tribe. The 12 tribes go into this foreign land that God has given them. It's as sure as done. But yet they go out to get them a plan, to spy the land out. And they come back
And they all agreed that there were great challenges, but only two of them said, "Our God is able." The wording there, it's almost like it's they're like bread in our hands, is what Caleb and the Hebrew talks about. Caleb and Joshua say they're like bread before us, like a piece of cake. They're ripe for the taking. It's ours. They saw their God much bigger than the giants of Canaan. But the other ten said, "We can't take it." Did they show faith? No. When God puts us in these situations where things seem impossible, they seem difficult, whether it's a family situation, whether He tells us to fight for truth, whether He tells us to stand up in our workplace, and He says, "Do not compromise. I'm bigger than your problem. I'm able." When He gives us that test, do we walk forward without wavering? Do we show true faith? Or do we pull back and compromise? Because I want to tell you, that's not faith. That's not faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Keep that in mind. That's going to be one of our themes, this section, the next 15 minutes. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But by faith, they overcame. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Rahab. We see these people right here, and what more shall I say? I'm running out of time. I'm tired of going through. By faith, it would tell me, I don't have time to tell you of Gideon, the weakest of the weak. Barak, under Deborah, led the army to overcome a great battle. Samson, who accomplished more through faith in his death than even through his life. But we see his great faith as he looked to God and he had the strength to kill all of those Philistines as he pulled down the great columns there in the temple. Jephthah, David. You know, David, little shepherd boy David. He walks up and he sees this Philistine and everybody's gripped with fear and in terror. And David says, "The same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver us from the hands of this Philistine. Let me please have a shot at him." And they made fun of him. But David's faith was strong. He knew his God was able. Church, I want to tell you, that's faith. That's the faith you and I are to walk in. That's the faith that pleases our Heavenly Father. That's the faith that's being modeled for us through this Hall of Faith, Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. That's what this writer of Hebrews is trying to encourage these Jewish individuals that are attempting to, some of them have professed faith in Christ, and now there's this temptation to go back into Judaism. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 12, when it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off this weight." That word is let us throw off this attachment to this Jewish legal system. You know, because people of faith, we're no longer trying to make sacrifices. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God slain for our sins. We're no longer trying to earn God's favor through a sacrifice. We no longer have to go through ritual washings and ceremonies, because faith is trusting in Christ and His work. And so by faith, these people that have gone before us, let us look at them. Let them provide motivation for us on this journey, and let us throw off this old way, and let us run with endurance the faith, the race of faith set before us. Anybody ever run like this? If you do, you're gonna run into something, right? We're looking upward this year, and we're looking outward. We're looking, it says, to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But it says, run the race. I think about running a race, and I think about running to win. I think about running fast. I think about enduring. But also think about keeping your eye on the prize. These people in this Faith Hall of Fame have looked toward the prize. They've recognized that God is able. They've endured. They've persevered. They've taken risk. They've accomplished great tasks. They've overcome great enemies. They've quenched the mouths of lions. And we think about Daniel, who would not compromise and was thrown in this lion's den. But yet it said that God is able, and God, there wasn't a scratch on Daniel. They quenched the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now thrown in the fiery furnace. They said, we will not bow down. We have faith in our God is able to deliver us. But if you don't, let us die because we will not compromise. Guys, I'm going to tell you this year, running the race of faith means we're looking to Jesus. We're looking upward, but we're also looking outward. And part of that is keeping our eyes on the prize, recognizing that we're strangers and we're pilgrims and we're passing through. But looking outward also, guys, I want to tell you, we're getting too comfortable. We're getting too content. Looking outward means that we're fulfilling the Great Commission. We're walking with purpose. We're sharing the good news with those around us. We're telling of the fate that's sure to those who run from Christ and that rebel against Him, the fate that is sure to face His wrath, but also the glory that they'll share as they trust Christ, as they run with faith, as they cast off their sin, and as they believe God, they'll be victorious. Looking upward means we're looking to Christ, but looking outward means that we're fixing our eyes on the prize and we're focusing on those around us that are lost, guys. Let us turn our attention outward this year. Every committee, every activity, ask yourself this question. How are we making a difference in our community? How are we making a difference in Thoughtful, in Hartsel, in Morgan County? God, may we not get comfortable. This journey of faith is not a comfortable journey. These people are going out as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were living in tents and they were strangers and they're pilgrims. You and I should feel like strangers and pilgrims. May we not be content. Faith causes people to take risk. Faith helps people accomplish the impossible. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead from the resurrection. We think of Elijah and Elisha, the widow of Zarephath and the Shunammite woman who both lost their sons, and God's power showed that He's able to resuscitate, to bring them back to life. Of course, it's the resurrection is that glorious resurrection that we await, all believers. This was a way God just brought them back to life. Our God is able. Our God is able. By faith, and I told you it's broken down into two sections here, but I also want to, this word overcomer, I saw it in this text. I saw it as they endured, they were overcomers, and I love it, and so it's there. You know, John 16:33, it says, in the world you will face what? Tribulation. But Jesus said what? But take heart, I've overcome the world. So as we run the race of faith, as we take risk, know that Jesus has overcome. And know that as we are identified with Him and as that we are abiding in Christ, that we also are overcomers. We will overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. All right, the Word tells us in Romans 8:37-39. I love this text. I could probably quote it to you. It says, of course, we know that in 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But down in 37, it says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Assured of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, without faith it's impossible to please God. They overcame by faith, but now we are not only risk takers accomplishing and attempting great things for God, we're also overcoming. We're more than conquerors. We are triumphant. We're victorious through the resurrection. Faith helps us see that. Faith keeps us focused. We just talked about Joshua and Caleb. They would rather face the giants of Canaan than go against God's commands. Daniel shut the mouths of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace. But they knew that they were overcomers.
And by faith, we know that we will overcome. The second section there, which third point, is that they overcome by accepting and enduring great persecution. By faith, they overcame. Look at what it says there. In 35b, the second part of verse 35, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Some were tortured. Do you see that? Refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. If someone doesn't have faith, are they going to take on that type of persecution? Are they going to lay their life down? That was one of the greatest evidence for the resurrection, is that these people that were scared and timid and in hiding as Jesus went and was crucified, when they saw the risen Christ, what happened? They were radically transformed. They would all suffer a martyr's death except one, being beheaded, hung upside down, run through with the sword, cast off of walls. They were tortured because they wanted to identify with Christ and would not waver, would not compromise. True faith helps us endure, and it enables us to accept and endure great persecution, even measures of torture. But yet, God's people remain faithful, right? God's people remain faithful. It says that they might rise again, and they were looking for a better life. Remember that heavenly country, right? So these are your crusaders that they are on a long and determined attempt to achieve something that they strongly believe in. And they will not waver. They will not back down, even if that means being tortured. Verse 36, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Remember? This world wasn't their home. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. I love that. This is, last week we looked at God saying, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. God was not ashamed to be called their God. Here, the validation, the affirmation, the approval. It says, of whom this world was not worthy. These people hiding, facing persecution, facing torture. This world was not even worthy of these people. They showed such great faith in Christ. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in the caves of the earth. Some of this, I think, look at verse 23. I think about Moses. Here's faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. But look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses was royalty in Pharaoh's court. The finest institutions, the finest schools, the finest treatment. Literally had everything he wanted. And he said faith helps him to be rather and more willing to endure the hardship and mistreatments of God's people than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of Egypt and Pharaoh's court. That's true faith, friends. Not looking at the temporary. Not looking for worldly fame and success and happiness and contentment, but mainly, mostly, and importantly, and firstly, putting our eyes on the prize and being true and being obedient to the commands of Christ. Faithful to do what God's called us to do. What has God called you to do? Where has He placed you? What are you struggling with now? Are you running with faith? Are you not wavering? Are you holding true? Are you just floating life like a leaf in the wind? Are you compromising? Are you wavering? Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater, verse 26,
than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. People endure. These crusaders, radical, laid their life down because they were looking to the reward. Faith looks toward the reward. These people, a lot of times, they didn't see Christ. They were looking toward Christ. They were looking toward that heavenly city. They didn't see it. Except through eyes of faith, God gave them a glimpse. We've seen more than they saw. We've seen Christ in His fulfillment. We have records. God's imparted faith to our hearts. But I want to say here that these people remained faithful. Worldly people tap out, but would not be facing persecution in the first place. Faith, hope, sees, remains, no compromise. Eyes on the prize, here and now does not matter. Their pain brings pleasure because they're identifying with Christ's sufferings. I want to read you. This is probably recognized. This is during the time of the Maccabees, which was a 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is a great time of persecution for God's people, the Jewish people who were trying to remain faithful. During this time, 2 Maccabees 6, which we don't recognize as divinely inspired literature. This is in the Apocrypha. This is the Catholics see this is part of the text and the canon of Scripture, but we don't recognize it as that. But there's some great historical literature, and it's things that happen in history. And in this 2 Maccabees 6, it tells us of a horrible time when the Greeks attempted to force pagan religion on the Jewish people as they defiled the temple and forced the Jews to disobey divine law. There's a guy named Eleazar, a 90-year-old scribe in the face of the death penalty. He refused to eat pork, even as friends encouraged him to fake it by using another type of meat. It says, at his death, he stated, "It is clear to the Lord in his holy knowledge that though I might have been saved from death, I am enduring terrible sufferings in my body under this beating. But in my soul, I am glad to suffer these things because I fear Him." Faith is concerned about Christ and about honoring and pleasing Him, reverencing Him, fearing Him, standing in awe of Him. In 2 Maccabees 7, a mother and her, and this alludes to this, some of this intertestament literature here. We think that's what the writer's alluding to, and so it makes sense to give you some of this. And in 2 Maccabees 7, a mother and her seven sons die nobly under horrible torture. The first son, before the eyes of his family, has his tongue cut out, is scalped, and has his hands and feet cut off. And I hesitated to even read this to you, but I guess we're big boys and girls. Finally, he is fried in a pan until he dies. The second son dies in the same way, but with his last breath, he says, "You accursed wretch, you dismiss us from this present life, but the King of the universe will raise us up to an everlasting renewal of life because we have died for His laws." That's faith. Eye on the prize, not thinking about the here and now. Able to stay the course, remain, endure, persevere. No backing down. That's why he's writing these examples of faith, is to encourage these believers that are tempted to waver. True faith perseveres. True faith endures. True faith overcomes. True faith takes risk. True faith accomplishes amazing, impossible works and tasks. According to tradition, the prophet Jeremiah was stoned. Isaiah was sawed in two by Manasseh, King Manasseh. Clement of Rome points to Elijah and Elisha and Ezekiel as those who wore sheepskins and goatskins, who were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, wandering in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These words are also descriptive of the Jews of the Maccabean revolt who were persecuted under Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. The author of Hebrews points out that the world was not worthy of these great people of faith who lived out their commitment to the unseen God in the face of hostility. God commended them for their faith, meaning He bore witness to their faith. The conclusion the author of Hebrews wishes the reader to draw is that faith is the only way to live for God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't know what you profess, but the true test, the proof that's in the pudding is are you enduring? Are you persevering? Are you taking risk? Are you strangers and pilgrims? Are you passing through? Is your mind on the prize and focus on the prize? Are you running looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith? Are you motivated by those who have stayed the course? And the picture in Romans 12:1 is this amphitheater of those that have accomplished and have endured and have persevered and have faced death. They've run this race of faith. And now that it says in verse 39, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Because God had provided something better for us that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So there's this picture in Romans 12 that these people are cheering us on. Come on, run, endure, persevere, take risk. Look to Jesus. Don't waver, never look back, don't back down. You can do it. We've done it. Stay true, don't compromise. Prove that you're a true believer. And there's this amphitheater of people that have gone before us that are cheering us on. And then we're looking to Jesus who says, I'm the lamb that was slain for your sins, and I'm the lamb that was slain, but now the lamb is standing in Romans 5, and we look to him and we see that he's victorious and he's triumphant, and we look to that lamb that was slain that's now the one that's able to open the seal that represents victory and honor and triumph. And so we run the race of faith, and we're motivated by those around us. And we held on and we hold on because of Jesus who has endured and overcome. In this world you will face tribulation. Take heart, I've overcome the world. In conclusion, I wanted to be precise for you guys, so I kind of wrote it down. May we who declare ourselves as people of God, people of faith, prove it this year. May we attempt great acts of courage and accomplish great things. May we show radical obedience. But may we also be willing to accept great measures of persecution, of conflict, hostility, mistreatment. And may we keep our eyes on the prize. May we continue to look upward to Jesus. And may we continue to look outward as we run. Because if you're looking down, you're not running. To look and to run the race, you have to look outward. May God grant us spiritual eyes to not only see the reward, but as strangers and pilgrims, may we see the strong convictions and the people around us that are lost and that need to hear the good news of Jesus. May we focus on our community. May we focus on the lost. And may we continue to look up. And may we continue to look out. May we keep our eye on the prize. May we run the race of faith. And may we cast off the sin and weight which clings so closely. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.